Good evening, this is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, stationed at the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Every Thursday night we run a technical net, and the purpose of the technical net is to engage in dialogue about amateur radio, the radio arts, electronics, things related to that. They can be operational issues, they can be, deep, dark technical issues. Pretty much anything dealing with ham radio is considered a technical subject. So don't be shy. Don't think your question's too silly, too stupid, too insipid, too advanced. All those things can be completely considered by the net. This net is run weekly on Thursday nights on 146.79. This repeater is operated by the Bergen County FM Association, our sister club, and we appreciate the use of their repeater for this net, and also other nets that this club, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, operates. You need not be a member of the club in order to participate in the net. All licensed radio amateurs with privileges to operate in 2-meter band are more than welcome to participate. We have a 10-meter net on Monday nights on 28350 at 9 o'clock. On Tuesday on 444.1, also at 9 o'clock. On Wednesday on 146.79, we have a chat net as well, right here. And of course, here is the tech net. We also have monthly meetings, and about 10 times a year we also do test sessions, either on a Friday night or during one of our two ham fests in May or October. We are coming up into that May season where we have a ham fest in a couple of weeks. It's the Saturday after Memorial Day, if I recall, which will be very exciting. And then the monthly meeting is held on Sunday night, usually the first Sunday of the night, unless it's a religious holiday, and we meet at the Red Cross building in Ridgewood on Godwin Avenue. We meet at 7 o'clock, and of course, we then adjourn to the meeting room by 7:45 for the actual meeting, but before that there's coffee and there's beverages and snacks and things like that. It's a very nice social time, so we hope you'll join us. On Tuesday nights, we also have a kid night when school is not in session. It's held at Westwood High School in Washington Township, and it begins at 7 p.m. Alrighty. On that note, let's get on with business at hand. Stations wishing to check in, and hopefully everybody wishes to check in, whether or not you have a question or a comment. We'd like to hear from you. It gives us a sense of who's participating at some level, even if it's just with their ears. So we would ask that you check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or none of the above. Pretty straightforward stuff. We hope you can do it. On that happy note, however, we're going to ask for stations, K2s first. You must be a K2, not a KA2, not a KB2, not a KC2. K2s first. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question or comment.
This is K2ZO. No questions or comments at this time.
Okay, K2ZO, Jim, good evening. Who else?
K2ZC, Dave, no comments or questions.
Dave, nice call. Zulu Charlie, when'd you get it?
About a week ago.
Congratulations, that's super. That's super. Alrighty, well, K2ZC, a new person, hits the records. I'm going to have to talk to, I'll make a note to Bob Javits so you get credit for that. I'll write down the J1W and that compiled the correlation for the rest of the year. That ought to be exciting. Okay. Let's see. Any other K2s, please call K2BAR. Call my name, whether or not you have a question or comment.
K2DSL, David, no question.
Okay, David, good evening to you as well. Any other Kilo 2s? No, we're not going to hear from KC2PYB. He's down in Atlantic City at the emergency management conference or emergency responder conference. Alrighty. Let's try W stations beginning with Whiskey. All stations with Whiskey. Please call K2VAR. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
This is W2JEK. No question.
This is WI2W, Steve. No question.
Okay, W2JEK. Don, good evening to you. WI2W, Steve, good evening to you. Any other Whiskey stations? Okay, moving right along. Any November stations, please call K2BAR. Call sign name, whether or not you have a question or a comment.
N2OEL.
2ZZK. Bob, no questions at this time.
I got two of you, N2OEL and N2ZZK. Noel and Bob, good evening to both of you. Bob, I got you, no, with no questions. Noel, do you have a question or a comment for that?
One question about a Kier.
So noted, okay. Serves you right. No, just kidding. Ah, dear me. Noel beat me out for a pair of venture paddles yesterday. All right. Moving right along. The other November station, please call me. VAR. That entry CRT, you're breaking up. Your microphone cord sounds like it was disconnected.
It's the receiver, not me.
Okay, Charlie, no problem. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I guess so. For the end.
Okie doke. Very good. Make a note to the question. To you as well. Alrighty. Hold on. Dialing up the input here. So I can hear you next time. Alright. Any other November stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Any Alpha stations at this time, please call K2BAR. Call sign name, whether or not you have a question or comment for the net.
AA2BDU. Helmut, no question.
Good evening, Helmut. K2BDU. Very good. Any other stations for the net, please call K2BAR.
K2KCL, repeater.
K2BAR, KC2ORX.
Bob, good evening, KC2ORX. How are you, Everett? And I think you had something you wanted to say, but I don't remember. I think you mentioned to me last night you had something for tonight. Is that true?
I took care of that one, Rob Gordon. I'm just going to listen to it tonight. I'm headed home, so I'm just going to listen to what's going on.
Okay, no problem. Glad everything got squared away. Any other stations wishing to check into the net, please call K2BAR. Did anybody get him on the input? I'm going to try to get that on the other radio. It was a KC2. Could you try it again, please? W2TT2. Probably K2BAR.
Probably Kelly.
No, it was male. I thought it was male. Anyway, station again, please. I thought it was SKL, but maybe I heard something else as well. I thought it was a male voice. K2BAR. KC2SKL, W2TTT, but K2BAR, sorry. Alrighty. Well, it is what it is. I thought I heard KC2SKL, so I will log you in, Kelly, just in case you're there. But, anyway. Any other stations for the net, please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard. Alrighty, Noel, your Kier question. K2BAR.
Okay, the reason the venture pedal was not working properly was there was a screw loose. Okay, I got a 492, MSA 492 regular gear at flea market about 3 weeks ago. Put the power plug on today. And we still don't have the peel the cord to go from the keyer to the pedal. I did buy the plug at Radio Shack. However, we took it, plugged it in the back, got the power. It appears to start up. And so I said, oh, well, we can test it by simply shorting on the back of the plug to the outer shell. So we're there at Fairlawn, and we took a knife and shorted from one side, and it gave a series of tits. When I shorted the other side, it just gave a continuous tone. And I'm thinking, is there a keyer that operates that way? I thought that it was one side was supposed to be tits, the other side supposed to be dodged.
Yes.
Yep. Go ahead, Jim, you can explain though.
Okay, there's probably an option to set the keyer to operate like a bug. Many keyers that were made during those years were set up that way for operators who had gone from a bug to electronic keyer, so that when you hit the dash, it makes a continuous tone, and you have to make your dashes, but your dits automatically were made, so that the thing electrically operates like a bug. You probably find a jumper somewhere you have to throw.
It's a 492. It's still currently sold for $130, and it appears that everything is set from the menu with a bunch of buttons and push this, push that. So that's probably an option. So it says it's an iambic keyer. Is that a different mode? What would I be looking for? What kind of mode would you think that would be? Bug mode?
When it's operating in the iambic mode, it'll alternate. If you hold both paddles down, it'll go da-da, 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 da-da. Okay, then you know you're in iambic.
So the solution is do an all reset, and it'll be back into iambic.
Well, that's the way it was set to wake up at, back in that K2 setup.
Yeah, that's correct. Neither one of us know the default position, but you certainly can do that, and you'll get a default mode. And the worst case is then you have to put it into iambic mode. It's not a big problem. If you have the manual, that'd be helpful. If you don't, I think you can probably download it from NFJ's website or from somebody's website. I'm sure you can do a Google search and find the manual somewhere for that puppy, or worst case is ask some pardon me, ham radio list.
Okay, I got the full manual. That's what I was reading. But I've never used the keyer, so that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, that's a great thing. I'm glad you're trying to get into it. That's great. I have a Vibraplex keyer that was a gift, and let me tell you, it is a nice keyer. Before that, I had a Venture paddle. In fact, I probably still do around here somewhere. That's what I was thinking. Which is why I was competing with you for that. Neither here nor there. I'm glad you're happy with it. And I spotted the same. I spotted a couple of defects in there. One was the loose screw. The other one was the bent handle. The handles that supported the paddle were bent to the point where they actually made contact under a lot of circumstances and where they shouldn't. So. It didn't look to me like it was very hard to repair. I've made those same repairs before on other keyers, so such is life. So I'm happy for you, Noel. I'm glad you're able to make the changes and get everything working. Anybody want to add anything to what Noel's heard before or so far? Okie doke. Noel, would you like to add anything further?
I just went and got a screwdriver, and I think I'll be able to fix both with one. There wasn't meant to attend at the Fairlawn tonight for Sid's repeater etiquette class. Three people, plus me, four people. Anyways, it was fun. See you guys tonight, tomorrow at Fairlawn, and to all y'all.
Okay, very good. Now, I did hear a reference to last week's concern about oh, God, what was the brand of that receiver? It was a Uniden shortwave receiver that also was known as the Radio Shack DX400. 2021? It might have been the 2021. In any case, I had heard a rumor that somebody had found something on that along the way. Yeah, the CR 2021. Did anybody come up with anything that they wanted to share tonight on that subject?
W2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, there's a vintage manual out there, and I think they want $21 and change plus shipping, I guess, for a manual. And I'm wondering if I want to get that involved with the thing. I was downstairs spritzing it again. I actually took the board that the load switch is on and lifted it up a little bit so I could get a better shot at it with the spritz, but still didn't solve the problem. So I'm going to have to try and deal this with the schematic, you know, because it's about six different circuit boards in this thing, and needless to say, I know the audio is good. If I tune WABC in, I see a full-scale reading. I tune off WABC, you know, it goes down, so I know the S-meter is working, so we're getting that much into the radio. It's just not getting into the audio stages, which is, I know, are good because of the FM load, so I'll just do it. I really want this receiver that bad, and I'd want to spend the bucks for a K2PSL to give me an email about some information about it. So I'm still searching around, but I'm see if I can find information about it on that for a free download, if I can find something like that. And the guy from Jersey City called me. Hold on. Guy from Jersey City called me, and he's got a Hempo. No, he's got a unit in 2020. The unit in 2020 is the same as the Tempo 2020, which is a HF transceiver, M-band only transceiver. He uses a pair of 6146s in the final, not different device altogether. And he's got some kind of sparking or something, and there's, I don't know whether the power cord is sort of rotten on them or what. I have to I have to talk to him about that some more. I might get him to bring it up to Kid Knight. With that, back then, that W2JK.
K2GTL repeater.
Okay, very good. Well, you covered a couple of different things. So you're referring to Jose, what's his call sign? Is Whiskey Papa 3. Here in November. That's very cool. So, he has a Uniden 2020 HF transceiver, huh? How does that compare to a Tempo 1, which also is in that same general time frame?
It's not Jose. It's a fellow named Reed. He does not have a call sign. This is an improved version, I guess, and it has the what I'm reading the reviews on it, people think quite highly of it in common. So I don't know what this guy's going to do with it after he gets it fixed. I think it sounds like a lot, something sparking. I think it was the line cord, so and he's afraid it was going to blow a fuse. So if it's just a line cord, that's a simple fix. But I have to talk to him further about it. Over. You know what he's going to do with it.
Yeah, thank. Go ahead, Jim.
I think he's going to put it on 10 meters or 11.
It ain't so, Joe. All right. For those who are following, Red Wings are up 4-1 at the end of the second period over the Stars. And they had 3-0 at one point, so it's been a pretty dominant game, just for those who've been following that. And let's see, regarding the 2021 manual, it's probably worthwhile if you want to play with the radio. And if you're getting some reception on it, it sounds to me like you're not totally hosed up, so it sounds salvageable and probably a reasonable thing to work on. So, I don't know, I would give it some serious consideration. Let's see, what else did I want to mention on that point? Well, I guess that's about it for now, Don. Do you want to add anything?
No, not this time, Gordon. Thank you. Back to that, W2JK.
Okay, well, keep us posted as to what's going on with that. But you know, those kinds of radios are kind of neat. I'm going to refer everyone to a website that you can go to at your leisure. November Echo 7 X-ray, I think it was, .com. NovemberEcho7X-ray.com. I think Linda was sending things out about that today. And boy, what a ham shack. Nice ham shack. I like this antique stuff, and I'm not a big antique guy. The scary part is, as one of the younger guys here, I realized I had owned about half the radios, more than half of the radios in his antique rack, and including the matching speakers at one time or another, which is making me feel old, but that's okay. Jim, I thought you'd enjoy the fact that I'm feeling old in that regard. And the guy definitely looks younger than I am, although he has like 30 years of business experience, so he's probably about my age. In any case, it was certainly interesting to observe. I obviously have not figured that call sign. What is the call sign? Anybody remember? Anybody got the email today?
Yeah, I got it, but I forgot the call sign.
In the meantime, let's get to Charlie's question that I had some things about last week. Before we get to Charlie's question, I just want to mention that on Monday we have an ARIESnet here at 7:30. We're going to guide you into a location right in the middle of the county. We're going to take you on a walking tour of a really cool place for you to know about. And then we're going to adjourn to a local eatery for burgers and pizza places and things like that, maybe some chicken. So, and also some show and tell where we're kind of gathered together inside, indoors in the restaurant. So even if you're just coming to have a Coke with us or sit with us, you're more than welcome to. You don't have to buy anything if you don't want to. But the net ended fucking starts at 7:30. Next month we're going to be doing ARIES ID cards, which are scannable by the state machines that a lot of local localities and county governments have as well. All right, N3CRT, your question, sir, K2BAR.
This is N3CRT. Not really a technical question. It's concerning Dayton, and maybe WI2W knows. It's a multi-part question. The first part is, I'm going to be flying out there. Has anybody taken mass transit and gotten around without renting a car? Is it doable, or should I just rent a car? And the second part is for WI2W. Do you know what hotel the AMSAT people stay in? Because I've reserved the room and I don't know where it is.
This is WITW. You know, I don't off the top of my head, Charlie, but if you give Martha a call at the office tomorrow, I'm sure she'll give you the details.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to call her. I tried to, been so busy at work, I barely find the 10 minutes to call, but I'm going to do that. Anybody else got any suggestions for a first-timer?
Bring money.
Bring lots of money. Bring lots of money.
I'm not going to spend a whole lot because I don't have any money to spend, but I just want to go. And I don't know. We'll see. There's only one thing that I know that I would want to buy, and I could hunt one down off of eBay, but I could just, if I see it there, I'll probably buy it.
What's that, Charlie?
Well, it would probably be an ICOM W32A, or if the price was right, one of those, the dual band handhelds from Kenwood.
Yeah, if you find the 24AT, an ICOM 24AT, that'll do the same thing. That's what I use.
Okay, well, thank you. That's it. N3 CRT clear.
Alrighty. Well, that was good. We have a little Dayton information. I may have fat-fingered it. Maybe it's NE7X-ray.com. that's better. And November Echo 7xray.com. Scroll down his main page to the shack. Click, mouse click here for pictures of any 7X shack. Oh boy, is that a treat. He is bragging it's a 500 square foot shack, and it's got a workbench in it, but that's not his metalworking bench. It's only electronics and kit building benches. Metalworking benches in his garage, which is adjacent to it. His ham shack is built on the other side of the attached garage from the rest of the house. Has its own entrance. Guys, you just gotta love it. It's got separate electric, separate air conditioning, separate a lot of things. What it doesn't have, oddly enough, is a place to crash. It's one thing I saw, and the restrooms. But I'm assuming if it's a lot like a lot of ranch houses, you go through the garage into an area near the kitchen. It's probably a powder room between the garage and the main part of the kitchen or something. So it's not the end of the world. Alrighty. I just thought you'd enjoy that. Linda Louie had sent it out. God knows whoever else. They were all giggly. I have my, 150 square feet ham shack, and I feel blessed with that, as cluttered as it is. Jim, my ham shack is starting to look like you. Talk about your basement. It's really bad. Alrighty. Before we move on, because I have a couple of questions about a couple of things, and I want to talk about the transmitter hunts as well. Or I'd like Jim to talk about the antenna he talked about, or used, I should say, for the transmitter hunt. In a little bit. In the meantime, does anybody have any other check-ins they'd like to make with or without questions or comments? Please call KTBAR. Or, yeah, here you go. Hey, the gang's all here. Alrighty. So, Jim, I am going to ask you about your antenna if you can handle it a little bit. A couple things. I have a drive for pushing an 8 or 10 foot TBRO dish around, and it runs ideally on about 24 volts or so DC, and I was just wondering if anybody happened to have a power supply in that general range. It will turn with 12 volts, I've done it, and it turns a little bit better with 16 volts, but it's unloaded, and so I don't know what would happen if I actually put a mechanical load on it. I know it wants 24 volts, so that's... just wondering if anyone has such a beast that they want to throw out or get rid of. Just something 24 volts DC. Very, very cool. The other question I have, since it doesn't require a lot of current, does anybody have any ideas of an inexpensive way to go about taking 12 volts and getting 24 volts out of it for said purpose? And by the way, just to go back, any 7X-rays ham shack is awesome. It's not only a nice, comfortable ham shack for his operating position, but he's got this antique rack. Racks and racks and racks of stuff. It's really cool. Anyway, so I am looking for a way to perhaps drive 24 volts or so from 12, if that's possible. So on that note, I'm going to key and ask if anyone can answer those questions. This is KTBAR.
K2GCL repeater.
And W2JEK with a question.
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, it says 24 volts DC. You did mention how many amps this thing's going to pull. And I don't have anything I would expect it would do that job for you, but we don't know of anything. But I'm going to make a suggestion. If you can get to 12 volt car batteries temporarily, series, run your machine with some kind of a and see just what amps it pulls. That way you have an idea what kind of power supply you're going to need. You try to run this thing with a wall board to pop the minute you put the antenna on it there. Turn it on during an icy day or something.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to have more than a wall board's worth. My guess is, I'm trying to remember. I think I put it at the 12 volts with the Linco supply. I think it was sucking around 2, 3 amps, maybe 4 at 12 volts. So. Yeah, I think you can push that supply up to about 16, if I remember right. And you know what? Maybe I'll try to do that while we're sitting here. Maybe I'll configure everything, see what I can do. But that's something to consider. As you say, the current supply is definitely an issue. As far as that goes, though, if I can find an old power supply that meant interested in flying truck stuff or a truck charger, a truck battery charger, I should say, or something that is meant as an accessory that people might know about that takes 12 volts and gives you 24 and a few amps, that'd probably be sufficient. It's one of these screw drives that's really, I want to use it so that I can bird bath my antennas when they're so in need, as it were. I'm actually thinking of doing that so that I can put up a dish on my roof without worrying about taking my roof or house apart, or put on the road 25 tower, which back into the house on a really short mast, but again with the drive. So we'll see. We will see, because clearly having it not, you know, in a birdbath mode under high winds and nice conditions would be disastrous. Absolutely disastrous. We'll see. All right. If you have something else, though, I'll just drop it and see if anybody has any other comments or questions.
Gordon, W2JK.
Go ahead, Tom.
Exactly what you mean. I understand the dish you make birdbath. It would take a birdbath as a vessel that contains water. That would mean you have this thing pointed up in the sky or bird it somehow so that it shed water. I was thinking if you have it pointed up in the sky like a bird that contain water, you contain slate if it was a slate system.
It's a generic term, Don, that means it's pointed up, and therefore it isn't a wind load.
Oh, okay, gotcha. W2JK, thanks.
We all learn something every day, Don. Don't sweat it. No. But anyway, so that happiness in mind, I will see what I can do. I'll take some current readings at 12 and 16 volts. It's probably what I can do conveniently. And we'll see what it does from there. Conceivably, I can take a switching power supply and put it in series with a battery and get something up around 24 volts. That might work as well. Take some current readings through that. There's a Myelinco, what do you call, power meter. A power supply has a power meter on it. So anyway, I did acquire a toy recently. I got the little MFJ 25 amp Mighty Light switching power supply. I find it to be quiet. I bought the version with the Anderson power balls on the front panel. Oh, is that sweet. Oh, man. Just thought I'd mention it. It's got binding posts on the front, and it's on the back it's got some clamp clips for up to about 5 amps. So for accessories, if you just have bare wires, so if you need to get something simple going, you can do that. So I definitely recommend this little MFJ Mighty Lake. It's got a fan in it. It is an 8-ply, but it's half the size and about half the weight of the Linco. And I've already pushed it pretty hard, and it seems to be doing very well, so I'm very pleased with it. Alrighty. Any other check-ins or comments for the net before I go to direction finding from the Foxton? Call K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2FAZ, late check-in.
Hey, Tony. K2FAZ, do you have a question or comment for the net?
Only question I had is during Sunday's Foxton, there was a square-type antenna. I believe it started with an M, and I was just trying to get clarification on the name.
Okay, it's called a Moxon Mike Oscar X-ray Oscar November. And that's the antenna I'd like Jim to speak to at this point. So if anyone else is wanting to check in, let's do that now real quick. See if you have a question or comment or just want to check into the net. And then we'll go to Jim. Anybody else? K2BAR. Okay, K2ZO. You can give us a few hundred words on the subject of the Moxon and how you build it and how it operates, because it obviously has gotten several of us to pay attention. K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. The Moxon antenna was originally a HF antenna invented by a G4 by the name of Moxon. And what it is, it's a two-element antenna. One element, of course, is a driven element, and that is the front element, and the reflector sits behind it. What's nice about it, it appears to not have much back of a signal. It seems to have a much greater rejection. Let me drop it. And if you look at the antenna, the elements are a half wavelength in physical length, but they're bent. The director is bent, and the reflector, which is spaced about a half wavelength behind, in our case, about a quarter, no, a quarter wavelength. And those elements are bent, and they're only a short distance apart. If you go on the website, do a search for the Moxon antenna, you'll find a number of different places that have that described, because it's used from all the way on up from VHF right on up to HF. But we were very successful with that with the Fox Hunt, and originally Dick KQZV had built this antenna for sniffing because he has a terrible noise problem, and had seen references that some people had used this very successfully to locate noisy transformers and resistors and insulators. And the people that were doing that type work said, hey, this is the best thing. Don't fool around with a Yagi. Get one of these. It works good. Well, he made it, and I suggested that we try it. And sure enough, we did. And what we did is we triangulated the box from three positions in a vertical line, and then just crossed the line, and that's where we went, and that's where we found it. So it worked quite well. It was not fooled by reflections off the side. That's what seems to be its saving grace. Some of the other antennas seem to get a lot of signal off the side, and tends to sometimes get you in the wrong direction. Anyway, do a little search for the Moxon, and I think we're going to make up probably a couple more of them. Back to that, SK2ZO.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm thinking about making one for 6 meters for a lot of reasons, including the one you mentioned. Has anyone stacked them? I'm just wondering, has anyone, you know, looked at, I'm assuming the frontal lobe of this thing is fairly broad, with a high front-to-back ratio. So what I was thinking of doing was stacking a set of them, where I want to keep, I want to get a good launching lobe, good broad front lobe, and get some higher rejection off the back. I was wondering if you'd given that any consideration, Jim. What's the feed point impedance of this thing?
K2GCL repeater.
That's a good question. The feed point impedance theoretically should be slightly lower than 50 ohms. Stacking them, that would be a very interesting. In fact, if you stack two of them side by side, that might make an awesome antenna for Fox Hunt work. And of course, stacking them in horizontal position, I think you would just use the standard stacking formulas, you know, in the proper matching, and go that way like they were Yagi's, guys.
Okay. Well, that's easy enough to do. In my case, I think I'd like to stack them vertically, you know, put four in a stack to give myself some gain, but also to, you know, give a front, a broad front, because things get awful tight sometimes on 2 meters. I'd also like to do one on six. Let's see, on 2 meters, boy, you'd have to stack them pretty far apart, you know, in the order of maybe 8 feet or so. But, you know, a pair of those on 6 meters would give you good front to back and a really probably low angle takeoff in the front, but really broad. So I'm thinking it might be useful for something like, you know, leaving on 6 meters for Europe or something like that, you know.
we'll do a little research and look at the stuff that they've done. There's been an awful lot done with that antenna. Just do a Google.
Yeah, absolutely. I think W4RNL RNL's site had a lot on it, too. Which is still there, but good. All right. Anybody have any follow-up questions for Jim? Okay. Jim, do you have any follow-up things you want to say?
Yeah, we didn't really do a whole lot of matching of it. Remember, the radios we use today really don't lose sensitivity with a mismatched antenna. You know, years ago, if you had a 50-ohm front end and it was tunable, and it was all ganged together, if you had other than a 50-ohm antenna, you saw a big difference with the higher impedance tubes and things. But today, with the radios that we have, that's not a big problem. Making it an exact 50-ohm match would be great for transmitting, but for receiving, it really didn't make any difference at all. So we just kind of left it the way it was with a piece of coax on it and just isolated it with a ferrite.
Excellent. Okay. Good. So you use a piece of ferrite as a current balun, basically?
Just to stop the feed line from being part of the antenna.
Right. I gotcha. All right, very good. All right. Any particular ferrite in mind, or just the stuff you buy at Radio Shack to put on your snap on your power line?
Well, that stuff is 43. For VHF, you want to start using the 70, 72 series. But either way, I think the 43 was used and it worked. But if you really had to choose it, I would go something a little bit higher in that number, probably in the 72.
Okay, so you want a core that's got a higher permeability. Got it. Alrighty. Well, that's good to know. Excellent, excellent. Thank you for that. That was kind of neat. It was, I saw several crews come up, including the one you were in, come flying up. We found it. We win. No. So that was kind of amusing. I took great delight in laying out that. I promised a little bit of a treat. And it was not obnoxious, but you just had to go look. You had to go look around, like real life. So that was kind of amusing. And I was glad to see that people could find it obnoxious. Being up against the hill, I think, caused some people some grief. I know it gave Charlie fits, although he had to fix some things. He was just doing it without a map. Some of the other guys, you know, were close at hand as well, but again, had some issues of, you know, trying to figure out where the signal was. It was above, more above them than it was down range. I think that caused some issues with reflections and things like that. So that was kind of an intriguing thing to watch. And the other thing I'm looking for a five position rotary switch. I need an off position and four on switches. They need to come out to 2 amps or so at 12 volts. I was wondering if anyone had such a thing. Someone gave me an arrow bar. It's not actually arrows, but it's, you know, a signaling device. And I'm looking for a five position rotary switch so I can turn it off or set the modes. I could take a four position, I suppose, and just use a power switch. But someone had such a thing. Do let me know, and that, in any case, if you also hear KC2SQQ, his name is Rob, and one of the hams that got licensed back when we ran the course in December, and lo and behold, he now is the proud owner of a THF6. So if you do happen to hear him, be sociable, don't give him too much trouble. Don't blame him, just that I'm his scoutmaster. Good kid. Several of his buddies are saving their money for their radios as well. These kids are actually working for their radios. I'm just impressed one after the other. In fact, I was out tonight with KC2PWB
father. So he also has, you know, you have to go buy a radio, but you still put together the pennies by working for it. So it's a good thing as well. All right, any other comments, questions, confusions from the net, please call K2BAR.
K2BR, K2FAZ.
Tony, I'll get you in a second. Who was the other station?
This is W2JEK, Gordon. Load foot on the MOX on antenna being stacked, having a wider beam width, so to speak, but yet still getting some gain from the stacking. Let's see, you got roughly 40 dB gain, let's say, with the single antenna. You double that, so you got 6 dB with the double. Again, maybe with a stack, I don't know, but I'm thinking compare that with a 7-element Yagi that we currently use on 6 meters, and thinking of people that are off to the side of us that we don't hear with the sharp 7-element beam, justified improvement over.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole point, to have a broad beam width off the front. You're not looking to eliminate people. If you really like to swing your big fat beam around to put people in a null. But if you're, you know, if you're listening for Europeans and North Africans and, you know, such, you know, there's a fairly broad arc there going from Scandinavia down into North Africa to the Middle East and Caucasus and places like that, which do come through. I mean, I remember working some of those stations in that area of the world over the years on 6 meters. So if you had something with some gain, a low takeoff angle, and a big, fat, broad beam, I think you'd be in better shape than you would with a single 7-element beam where you could decide which one you're going to listen to, but you're not going to listen to all or both. Okay, Don?
Yeah, good idea. I'm just thinking of being up on the hill there, and you point your beam, let's say, south, and some guy off to the little woods to the south is in the null on that thing, you know, whereas this one has a wider width that you'd hear him, and or you wouldn't hear him with the Yagi. That's basically what I was thinking. Back to that, W2JK.
We agree. I mean, for contests, it could be a little interesting, but as a second antenna, a stack of those things, or even one in a direction different than where you're swinging your pointy beam, might be useful. You could buy some time to work somebody. I know K1WHS runs a stack of short Yagis. Are they 4 or 8? It's 4 6-meter Yagis stacked, or 8 2-meter Yagis. I forget what it is now. But they have them on a fixed orientation spaced up and down the side of the tower. And it works very, very well for flooding a good portion of the United States from that corner of Maine. Anyway, fair enough. Alrighty, K2FAZ, Tony, over to you, K2BAR.
K2KCL, repeater.
I just have a question on the assembly itself. I did find some reference even on a program to model it, but what I'm curious about is I saw that the one we were using there was mounted, I think, in like Lexan, but would putting it inside, let's say, a PVC tube cause any issues with that?
Not at all. Makes a great radio. Tony.
I'm sorry, I must have missed some. Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry, maybe I talked too fast. I keyed up too fast. I talked too fast on key. Now, I don't think that's a problem at all. I think it'd be just fine. It makes a good radome over the element.
Oh, okay. That's what you said. You said that real fast, and I said, what? Anyway, yeah, that's all I had, so back to the net.
That's a good idea, actually. For certain applications, that'd be a really good idea. Alrighty. Any other questions, comments, confusions on this subject or others, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, I think at this time I'm going to just remind you all that the ARIES net is Monday night at 7:30. Be on the repeater. Bring your appetite, or at least your sociability.
We're going to be driving someplace to the middle of the county during the net. You'll be guided to that location, and then we'll take a walking tour, and from that walking tour location, we're going to be over a Nosh. We should, at that point, have sample vests, although I don't know if that's going to happen by then. Something else I wanted to show you, another surprise, kind of order.